Hi, my name is Sarah Tran.
And this is Megha Jan.
And we
are Technology. Welcome to another episode of Technology. Today is Tuesday, October 27th. And of course, we're going to start off with, what tea are you drinking, Sarah?
I'm keeping it classic right now, and I'm drinking some green tea, but it tastes like there's some honey in here, so I guess there probably is some honey. What about you?
That's very awesome. I'm drinking lavender tea today.
Oh, your cup is so pretty.
Thank you. It's really floral. I really love floral patterns, so my cup represents that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, speaking of florals, you know, I haven't had time to just step outside and stop and smell the flowers in a while, because work-life balance has been quite abysmal during the pandemic. How are you feeling about that, Sarah?
Honestly, in combination with work-life balance and then also the fact that California, in almost every single direction, almost every other week, happens to be on fire, I've just been in front of this computer pretty much 24/7.
Agreed completely. The fires have not helped with that whole going outside versus staying inside and working ratio. But I think another reason is just because there's no compartmentalization between, you know, work time and then just relaxing time, at least for me. I feel like before the pandemic, when life was normal and we used to go to school, or for the people who used to go to work, like, you had a separation just by geographic location. Like, once you came home, you were home. You were going to take some time at least to relax or spend time with your family. But now it's just like, oh, this is my room where I zoom in and then I'll leave the room, but I do kind of have to come back because I have that work, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and the funny thing is, even there's even those times where you're zooming to zoom with your own family because you can't really meet up with them right now. And I think it's just been really weird to think about how, within how many months has it been? I honestly don't have track of time anymore, but since the beginning of the pandemic, so like how many months, six, 7 months, 8 months? I don't know.
It's been 7 months, a little over 7 months.
Wow. Yeah. I just can't believe how that much amount of time has went by, and everything just kind of seems to be blurring together.
Definitely. But I mean, I guess this kind of perfectly segues into today's topic, which is about remote work and work from home in general. So I think there's like three main ways that we're going to talk about this. I think first of all, we're going to talk about what life used to be like before the pandemic. Then we'll talk about what life is like right now during the pandemic, at least during the pandemic in the United States. And then we're going to talk about post-pandemic. We're seeing some other countries already that have lifted restrictions. Things are back to normal almost. And then we also see a lot of companies and startups preparing for when life will return to a new normal.
So in your experience, what was it like before the pandemic hit?
I think life was obviously very different. I remember we were on a plane going to Boston Logan International Airport for a speech and debate tournament. And I just remember wearing a mask and feeling really weird because I was one of the only people doing that. And I seriously thought that this was just a temporary precaution I had to take while traveling. And at the time, I just never would have imagined that we would be going into quarantine just a few weeks after that, and we'd never be returning to school for the rest of the year. Or actually, we'd never be returning to high school in our case. So that was a really interesting transition in our lives. I mean, I remember like a typical day for me was just, you know, wake up at 6, get ready, go to school around like 7:15, 7:20, you know, start my day off early, get off of school around like 3:30, walk to Mathnasium, which is where I used to work as a tutor, and then stay there until like 7 o'clock, come back home, you know, just maybe like have some dinner or take a nap or something, and then work on homework until like 11 p.m. and then go to sleep. And sometimes I would like sneak in a Netflix show or like talking to my parents and just hanging out with them. So yeah, I mean, that was kind of my life. And it seems so weird that I used to just walk around without any worries of social distancing. I used to hug people every day. I used to talk to people and laugh around them in big groups without any mask on. Just, I honestly can't imagine that. It seems like it was almost a decade ago.
It's so funny that you mentioned that same weekend. I was actually on my way to the Berkeley Model United Nations conference.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so weird because I remember when I was reading the articles about, you know, new virus breaks out in China and, you know, there was just so much crazy stuff going on. It seemed so far away that I was like, there's no way that it could possibly be in the United States. And if anything, be where I am, which just happened to be like in NorCal.
I just remember that Berkeley already had, I think, one or two cases by that weekend. I have really wanted to visit Berkeley for obvious reasons. You know, I had been admitted about a month ago, and I wanted to visit. Cal Day was coming up. That was supposed to be April. I had to miss out on that as well. But when I heard that things might be shutting down, you know, I did want to visit that weekend and ended up not happening just because there were a few cases there. But yeah, I mean, you know, work, life, travel, everything was kind of impacted. You know, even before the pandemic started, there were so many things that were just in stark contrast to the way that we live now. You know, we would have never imagined living this way. And I think a fun fact kind of from this era is that when we look at the transcripts from the investor meeting and the, you know, financial operations meeting that Zoom Video Communications had last year around July, their predictions for the amount of revenue that was going to be generated this year was around $587 million to $590 million. And Sarah, how much did they actually end up generating this year? Or how much are they expected to generate by the end of 2020?
Yeah, so get a hold of this. By the end of 2020, Zoom's total revenue is expected to be between $1.775 billion and $1.8 billion.
Wow. So you're telling me that they are going to end up making, by the end of this year, more than three times of what they had expected to make last year.
Yeah, so it's weird. They literally jumped from the millions to the billions. I mean, if I was an investor, I would be pretty happy right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm sure their early backers are more than thrilled with the progress that they've made this year. But yeah, I mean, even at the beginning when, you know, the virus was just starting to kind of become a thing, I think Zoom had amassed, what, like 12 million users just by, you know, like the beginning of the pandemic. So January and February. And then it only increased after that. So I guess this kind of brings us to the age of the pandemic. I think early pandemic, like March, April, for me is kind of characterized by Dalgona Coffee, Tiger King, and I think an extended spring break, because that's what we thought that time off from school was going to be.
At the beginning of the pandemic, Zoom was not a household name. I think there were people who were either in the business already and who already used it, but then there were also like schools that were a little bit slower to transition that were still using things like G Suite's own Google Meets or Google Hangouts. 7 months later, Zoom has now become the household name, and it effectively has its own monopoly over a video conferencing software. You know, so much that there are so many special purpose acquisitions or SPACs that are raising multi-million dollars in VC and early stage VC just to be acquired by companies like Zoom.
Wow. Yeah. It's almost like that whole situation of what used to happen with social media apps, right? Like we saw this happening with Snapchat. We like still see it happening, you know, with Instagram, Facebook, and now we have Zoom extensions as well, which just shows how essential it has become to all of our lives. And, you know, I think I find it interesting when we reflect on kind of the beginnings of Zoom, and we will have a Zoom specific episode coming up, you guys. So don't worry if we miss out on some of the details today, but something really cool is that Eric Yuan, the, founder and CEO of Zoom, video conferencing technologies, He was a former Cisco WebEx employee, or rather a WebEx employee. It was acquired by Cisco a little later. But back when he was in WebEx, he just wasn't very happy with the way video conferencing was being done, the amount of bandwidth that it took, the quality of video conferencing at the time. And he saw a lot of issues in the way that WebEx dealt with its customers, which kind of inspired him to create his own startup, invest, you know, his own time and money and assets into R&D, and leave this six-figure job behind at WebEx. And now it's paying off in dividends. I mean, I think within the first 5 months of the pandemic, he had earned $12 billion off of Zoom just from this year.
That's actually really crazy. I feel like the only way for me to really respond to that is just by saying, mm-hmm. And so speaking of mm-hmm, it was spelled M-M-H-M-M. It is a new startup just to build on top of existing video conferencing platforms like Zoom and Google Meet. And what they do is, if you've ever tested it out, you essentially have the ability to like add fun effects and AR filters to your Zoom calls or whatever. So you could be like, 1 second, you could be in the back of, you know, an iceberg. And then you could say something like, mm-hmm. And then you could zoom all the way to the front and have like a pizza emoji in your hand. And it just adds like a ton of fun. And it just shows like, wow, there's an entire market being built around this type of technology.
So I kind of have a follow-up question on that. Zoom's latest upgrade offered all these new video filters, right? And I can essentially do something like this and have, you know, those gamer sunglasses on, or I can put on, you know, a cap, a Zoom cap, or I don't know, I can pretend I'm like in the theater and I happen to be the movie that you're watching. But I mean, kind of a question that I have regarding that is, what makes mm-hmm so special? Like, if I have all these filters already included in Zoom, why would I want to add mm-hmm on?
I love the Zoom video filters and what they're trying to do. My favorite, personally, is to use the little pizza emoji hat. That's my favorite one. But if you compare mm-hmm and Zoom, there really is this monumental difference, I'd say. Because Zoom, right now, the filters, the, you know, they're trying to test around with like some beta AR stuff, like makeup and stuff like that. One of the cool things that mm-hmm offers, unlike Zoom, is you can essentially have a much more dynamic feel, right? So instead of just having, you know, a chalkboard background for your Zoom, with mm-hmm, you can actually shrink yourself so that you can fit anywhere on that actual chalkboard, for example, or you could have a presentation and essentially be inside of the presentation. It's kind of one of those things that it's easier to like see than like talk about. But once you see it, you're going to definitely just be like, wow, this is amazing. And someone who hears about it is going to be like, mm-hmm, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I can definitely, I need to check it out myself, but I guess I am getting a sense of how it would be different than Zoom. And it's really interesting that you chose to talk about this particular startup, because I feel like this kind of ties into a conversation that we were having earlier, Sarah. There's certain platforms and startups that have been coming up recently that don't really have, you know, like everything for you, meaning there's not like multiple different functions. It's like super, super easy. And it's usually just like they specialize in one little thing, or they have one little aspect that they're really, really good at that might relate to another platform or might be an add-on. And just because they excel at that one thing, they are able to make, you know, millions of dollars in their seed rounds.
Yeah, like that's a really good point. I mean, why do you think that is? Like, why do you think out of nowhere, since the pandemic, people are suddenly willing to just hop on all these different platforms?
I think it's that, you know, innate kind of need for human connection, right? But I think even more, what's really the reason is because people are working from home and you need to use some sort of video conferencing technology if you want to collaborate with other people. I mean, literally, if you look at any company at this point, they are you know, using people. They're like, they have people working from home. In fact, BCG conducted a survey that just happened to slip into the pandemic. It started before the pandemic. They were like surveying 12,000 people across, I think it was India, Germany, and the United States. And then it just so happened that the pandemic started during their entire like experiment regarding workplace productivity. So they also took that as an opportunity to ask questions about how productive employees were being during the pandemic. And it turns out that 40% of the workforce that they surveyed was working from home, and that in order to be productive, they were kind of being forced to use these tools, right? So many of them said that their productivity actually increased during the pandemic. I believe it was 75% of them. But then that was just for individual tasks. When it came to collaborative tasks, only 51% of them said that they have been able to maintain or improve their productivity, which is a pretty stark contrast from everyone else who was saying, you know, individual tasks, they were able to up their game. And I think the only reason that they, even 51% of them were able to maintain or improve productivity is because of Zoom, because of Slack, which we're going to talk about in a bit, because of all these different channels that you have to communicate. So really, I don't think I've gone, wow, this is huge. But right now that I'm reflecting on it, I don't think I've gone a single day since, I want to say maybe the end of March. Yeah, the end of March. I don't think I've gone a single day since the end of March without Zooming like at least one person, you know?
You know, I'm laughing, but at the same time, I'm like, wow, I am extremely guilty of that at the same time. I would even take it one step further to say, I don't think there's been a single day since the pandemic has begun in which I don't use around like at least 3 to 5 different, you know, software as a service, like not even Google, but I'm talking about Zoom, I'm talking about Slack, Trello, Notion. I am so guilty of having too many things open.
Completely agreed. That has been something that has taken over all of our lives. And I think it's another cause for, you know, Zoom fatigue or online fatigue, because you're dealing with like 5 different platforms at the same time. And it has made life a lot more complicated. And it does use a lot more brain power than what we're normally used to, which is just seeing situations in real life and dealing with everything in a more social and realistic setting.
Yeah, I mean, one really crazy statistic is how much SPACs have risen in terms of like IPOs in this last year, where we see the pandemic really being a catalyst for these very specific technology services. And if we look at the numbers, in 2020, over 293 SPAC IPOs have raised over $106 billion.
Right. I think that with a lot of people being unemployed, or even initially in the pandemic, it seemed like there was just a little more time in the day to focus on different things. We saw the rise of a lot of startups and a lot of really important technology that has revolutionized and continues to revolutionize the way we use these video conferencing platforms and other productivity tools on a daily basis. But I think, you know, besides productivity, work from home has kind of been changed forever. I mean, there's a lot of social issues that have arisen from it as well. We hear about the fact that now there's a greater discrepancy when it comes to the way different genders are represented in the workplace or what they have to deal with, because a lot of women are being forced to deal with, you know, children at home, and they're expected to do those tasks, but then also work from home and be efficient and productive. And sometimes that's really difficult. And another thing we see happening is that women are finding it a lot harder to speak up in work meetings and really have their voice heard in a virtual environment.
I really do resonate, because I also do have a younger brother, and that happens all the time to me. But, you know, the fact that it's being reflected across an entire industry just shows how this is one of those problems that the pandemic has really just exacerbated.
It's really hard right now to say that there has been a net positive. Especially from something that, if we take out this micro lens that we're using of work from home, something that has affected so many lives in such a horrible way. But even when we look at it, even within just, you know, work from home or this particular industry, it's really tough to sum everything up and see what weighs more and whether, you know, there is a break-even point or, you know, there's a net negative or net positive. I will say, you know, other than that, that there have been some positives that have emerged from this. And once again, there's two sides to the story, but overall we can say that it's really interesting that companies are not going to have to spend as much, or rather they realize that they don't have to spend as much on like corporate travel, and they don't have to spend as much in, you know, trying to get people together or in-person operations, because this entire pandemic and the infrastructure that was forced to be built in terms of video conferencing and communication has showed us that we are more than capable of getting work done even when we're not in person. So if you look at companies like Zillow and Slack and Microsoft, they are kind of starting to take the lead in shaping what work from home or remote work is going to look like post-pandemic. And that, I think, has been really interesting. It can help us with sustainability purposes. You know, flights are a big part of like carbon emissions. And so is, you know, cars and other vehicles. And it can also just help a lot of companies cut cost. But at the same time, there's that flip side of it where the airline industry has suffered extreme losses this year. And then all adjacent industries have also really suffered. There's, you know, complementary apps that were built for corporate travel. There are entire apps like Timeshifter, which help you with, you know, getting into, like getting rid of your jet lag and creating jet lag plans for you that are personalized. And these industries aren't going to recover for a while unless, you know, something drastically changes. But as we're saying, there might just be a new normal that emerges from all of this.
So one thing that is going along with this idea of a new normal. So Slack was trying to do more research into this, and they early in October, they released their own survey of over 9,000 knowledge workers, basically trying to look at the net effect or sort of the key takeaways of the pandemic on working from home. And so one of the key takeaways here was that it seemed like the majority of people actually did, so 72% specifically, did prefer to have a mix of remote and office work, so some sort of a hybrid approach. So, you know, that's, to me, what that sounds like is that we are never going to go back to the normal that we talked about in the first half of this episode, and that what we're experiencing right now could perhaps pretty much define what it's going to be like afterwards.
I think that's true. And, you know, not even just within Slack or within the survey that they conducted, but even within other companies. If you look at Zillow, you know, they made some pretty hefty investments in Seattle earlier this year, specifically for their workspaces. But they still are planning to keep 35% of their workforce working from home, even after the pandemic is over and restrictions are lifted. So you're right, Sarah, like those office buildings that we used to see bustling with people and, you know, those coffee stands outside that were a staple with long lines, that just might not be the case in 2021 or whenever we are fully out of this mess. I mean, things are going to be maybe operating at 50%, 75% capacity for a very long time. But, you know, it's really interesting what you said regarding this hybrid approach that's going to be taken, because, you know, within the same article that I was reading, it said that some Zillow employees who were taken as a case study and interviewed were saying that this hybrid approach is draining their energy even more. Because now not only do they have to interact with colleagues in person, but they also have to interact with colleagues over Zoom. And this switching between platforms and the amount of brain power that it takes is actually negatively affecting them.
You know, I didn't really think about that point, but it's a really good point that you bring up. And it sort of contextualizes this new index that was actually created out of the research that Slack has done. It's called the First Remote Employee Experience Index, to essentially measure remote worker sentiment worldwide. So this was developed by the Future Forum, and right now it's still in its early stages. So to exactly see how accurate it is or about how much information it's really going to tell us, it's kind of hard to assess that right now. But it is interesting how this entire pandemic has literally created a new index in which we're going to be using, I feel like, for a long time now, if not forever, to just assess how effective is the situation at the moment.
Definitely. I think it'll be really, really interesting to see how this index plays into offices into the future. You know, right now, 83% of those currently working, I mean, people are being given a choice, and 83% of these people, you know, do not want to go back to work, or do not expect, rather, to go back to work in the next 3 months. And, you know, only 12% of them are saying that they always want to work at the office. So as we're seeing, there's like a huge difference in opinions between people. Everyone seems to want something else. And there will be some compromises made, and we'll see the toll that it might take on our workforce in the future. But with that, I kind of have an ending question for you, Sarah. What do you think is going to be the biggest change that comes out of this pandemic when it comes to working in general?
I really love that question. I think it's partially because I'm working on a startup in the work from home space, and can't tell too many details about that at the moment, but I'm very excited to share that with everyone, the entire Technology team, as soon as possible. But I'm really betting on this idea that work and home, and specifically the people that are both in work and home, are no longer going to be disconnected. So I don't think there's going to be much of a line between being a professional colleague and being like a good friend. So I'll say that, and I'll keep it a little cryptic out there. But to kind of generalize it, so I don't go into too much detail right now, I think if anything, the physical walls between home and work no longer exist. The only thing that exists nowadays is just connections. I think we're going to see a lot of the destruction of previous divisions and categorizations that have previously been used to sort of organize and micromanage our lives, but rather everything is just kind of be this blend and see how do we work through all of that together.
That's so interesting. And honestly, I cannot wait to see what you're cooking up right now in terms of this work from home startup. I'm sure our technology team can't wait either. But I think I would have to agree to some extent with that. You know, it is a world of connections, but at the same time, it's a world of virtual connections. I think kind of the flip side of that is that we've seen a lot of connections erode in person. As these walls have eroded, we've also seen, you know, people not having those spontaneous conversations that they used to have with other people, those water cooler chats, you would say, or just, you know, having a new colleague introduced at work and sitting down and having a coffee chat with them. Those really aren't things that happen anymore. So I think the biggest change that's come out of this pandemic in terms of working and our lifestyle surrounding work, other than what you said, you know, those, the erosion of structure and walls, for me would have to be the erosion of spontaneous conversation. And that's something that I'm going to mourn for a really long time, because even though there have been a lot of startups that are attempting to solve this issue, I think on a large scale, I'm going to be completely honest, I think it's unsolvable. Nothing really will replace having an authentic, spontaneous conversation when you're just standing next to someone.
As someone who's used a lot of those various apps in the past, I have to say I agree with you. Having said that, I will never stop trying to solve and innovate at those real pain points that I think a lot of us are facing.
Yeah, I think we're always going to feel inspired by the issues that we face. And I hope that you guys, after hearing our conversations, feel inspired too. But that, I think, ends our episode for today. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. If you want to continue the conversation, even share your experiences about working from home or having school from home, please feel free to hop onto Twitter, tag us at Technology1, and share your thoughts using the hashtag Technology Tuesdays. You can also follow us on Instagram at technology.podcast. And remember, by taking all these little small actions, you're supporting this podcast And you are a part of the Technola team.
But with that, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Technology. We will not be uploading an episode next Tuesday in observance of the presidential election. But having said that, the upcoming week, we will be releasing a really hot take episode on what does the presidential election mean for the biz and tech world. So make sure to tune into that, and we will see you there to spill some more tea.